It's a beautiful morning, Barcelona. You're listening to English Radio Thursday on Radio Canal Barcelona 106.9 FM. I'm Virgil, and I'm getting ready to head off to vacation for the month of August for the first time in our 3 years of broadcasting. I guess I'm becoming European, after all. But anyway, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you without English radio in your life, because carrying on during this time will be our Wednesday show, The Movers and Shakers. And filling my time slot temporarily on Thursday during August, a new show that will take the second hour on Wednesdays in September. But anyway, with me today is Violetta Curry, the chief mover and shaker.
Hello.
And the newest addition to the English radio family, Joanna Lee.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Well, we'll be back to talk more with these ladies right after this.
Done. Mm-hmm.
and Let's Keep It Up and Keep 'Em Running by Marcus Miller. That's what you just heard. Well, Violetta, pardon me.
Yes.
You've tried to set a new standard with the other women in Movers and Shakers. Mm-hmm. What do you think your impact has been so far?
I think it's been far-reaching in that all of us are very different. So we're all doing different things, and we're inviting different guests on the show from all different fields and walks of life. So I think it's having quite a widespread impact, or at least I would hope. So,
yeah. You're getting people, you know, who are calling you in, writing you from Palestine and other faraway places,
yes,
and everything. So obviously you got a good audience out there.
Yes, I feel very lucky, very, very fortunate. Definitely. Yeah, I've just had somebody send me a message from Palestine saying that they heard the show and that they loved it. The last show I've just done.
Yes, yes.
My podcast.
The one yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. And Sound Steps to Profound Change. And yeah, so I feel really blessed, really lucky.
Well, no, with that, I guess, at least I feel, there comes a responsibility. Now, what do you feel is the contribution you want to make among your audience?
I would really like to reach out to people and inspire them to come to terms with who they are. That's the main thing, to really accept themselves because of my long road to self-acceptance. So I would really like to inspire people to feel their emotions and then begin to connect to who they really are. I think the problem is that most of the time we walk around trying not to feel, and I think that's a big mistake. So I'm hoping that my show will make people feel, just like my concerts do.
Well, yeah, I mean, your concerts are very good, and the people, you know, become, I mean, they feel your emotions.
Yes.
And they feel your emotions, and it gets transmitted through the way you sing and the way you give to the audience. So it's very easy to see that. Mm. We kind of remove this way, you know, that we're out here in the ether and folks should listen to us on the radios or whatever. Mm. And so it's a little more difficult. They can't necessarily see you or necessarily feel it. And again, in terms of feelings, depending upon who you are, what your background is, feelings are oftentimes difficult to address, especially your own feelings.
Yes, yes. But this is where people have to open up and be willing to connect to their own feelings. My formula for that has always been to just listen to music. And if you put on a really good boo-hooer, you will eventually boo-hoo. So that's kind of like my magic formula.
Okay. Again, it makes some sense. Joanna, tell us about you and some of the plans you have for your show.
Well, I'm Joanna Pintobul Lee, so I'm half English, half Portuguese, and I'm sure you can guess which is which. I was born in London.
It's only the voice that's Portuguese.
Well, it's the voice when I speak.
There's a little bit, you know, the British kind of carries over. But the inflections, if you listen, you hear a little bit of the Portuguese coming in. And then when you look Portuguese.
I do. I definitely don't look British. So no. Thanks, Mommy.
Yes.
Thank you for that. But
Mom gave you some good genes.
Well, I find that the more time I've spent in Europe, the more British I become. I suddenly find myself sort of talking like the Queen at times.
All right.
But I did spend most of my working life in London. I started off life as a lawyer and pretty soon kicked that to the curb for the much more fun job of being an editor of various magazines and a writer, which took me to Madrid. And then I made the very happy leap to Barcelona. And then I've set up by myself and I've set up something called the Offbeat Agency. Now, ever since I was little, what really made me feel alive was creativity and people, you know? And I struggled. How do you translate that into a career? You know, certainly a paying career. And at that time, you know, things, you didn't have the options that you have now. So lawyer it was until I made the break, which I was very happy.
Sounds like you're breaking out of jail.
Do you know what? I felt like I went from away from the dark side. It was sort of this hallelujah moment of like, wow, you can actually love what you do. Who'd have thought?
Right. Wow.
But words have always been my passion. So it's whether written, spoken, or sung. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about you, my greatest fear would be to have to take a vow of silence or banned from reading or listening to music. I think there are many things I could give up in the world. Certainly those.
But again,
they
might also at the same time help you become more insightful, because without that stimuli, mm-hmm. you then have to go inside of yourself mm-hmm. and find it and find your music inside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably, one of the things that it was more of extreme when I was back in the military, part of our training was, simulation that we've been captured by the enemy. And they stuffed me in this box and nailed it shut.
Oh, my God. Nailed it shut?
I have a new greatest fear to add to the list.
And, so it was a case where, all of a sudden you have the immediate sense of panic. Mm-hmm. Then you have the sense of deprivation. And then, if you can really get your mind to it, then you have to go and be able to find this new place where you exist outside of this physical thing that you find yourself in.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that kind of thing, I'm saying that even though we need stimulus, what I'm saying, it's difficult to be able to get in touch with feelings, because feelings can mislead you.
Mm-hmm.
And they can take you down the wrong path of fear and the wrong path of bad decisions. So to be able to really get inside yourself past the feelings and then find your ultimate essence, that becomes the thing that really can ensure you. So, but again, so
well, no,
being the same way being a lawyer, but the same as being nailed in a box. So.
Some might say.
Yes.
But I think you touch on a very important point there, and I find music, sometimes people can't articulate their feelings. Mm-hmm. Some people can't access them. But yet by the power of music, by the power of a voice, by the power of listening to someone on the radio, someone talking, things come out of you and they kind of let down walls. So, what I've always loved is people's personality. Mm-hmm. And those stories that you kind of, are in there. Mm-hmm. And if you dig deep enough, you can really bring them out, and it changes someone. And I used to do this mm-hmm. to lawyers. I mean, my brief always used to be, can you make this sound sexy? I was like, I'll do my very best. But I mean, there's no reason that articles or interviews or heavy topics have to be boring. Just because you're a lawyer doesn't mean you're not a human being. Mm-hmm. Just people kind of need to look past what mm-hmm. they are to see who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I love turning this kind of personality and passion into content, especially for non-native speakers, because, it's hard to put something into the written word when it's not your mother tongue.
Absolutely.
But, keeping it real, letting personality shine through, that's what I think audiences, at least I do, connect to, and what keeps them coming back for more. And that's what I would hope to do with the show. Mm. Keep them coming back for more.
Okay.
So the idea
Great insights.
Well,
great
I have. Do you like my optimism?
I do. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think the whole thing is that each of our shows have their own little focus, their own points of view, and their own little things, which I think is great about English radio, because mm-hmm. you get a full spectrum of the language, but also a full spectrum of the people behind the language, which I think is also important to talk about.
Mm. And people are interested in stories, as Joanna was saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what interests us, as people in general. Stories.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back with some more of our stories right after this. And that was Marquis Hill with Herbie Hancock's classic Maiden Voyage. Maiden Voyage. Difficulty going this morning here. No, Maiden Voyage is a classic one. There's been so many people who've done it. Ramsey Lewis, Ahmad Jamal, anybody who's been in jazz, you know, has taken it and done a nice rendition of it. It's easy to do. Well, Time Magazine recently did their annual recap of the 100 most influential people in the world today. Now, if we look at that, who would be the most influential person today from your perspective and why? Ms. V?
Oh, my God. For me, I have two.
Okay.
Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They would be, for me. Now, I'm talking about the 100 most influential people as far as on the positive side.
Okay.
I'll go with that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, well, again, you know, we look at Oprah, again, talking about self-conversion from a enthusiastic young woman in Baltimore doing local news, all of a sudden remade herself into this international celebrity that has taken the, I guess, the essence of what so many women wanted to become and brought it out there and showed them how they can make it happen.
Say not all of a sudden, because it took her 25 years, basically. And actually, when I heard you mention say her name, I actually heard Oprah, and I thought, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, she was.
She's given a lot of hope to people.
She has. She has. Yeah. There's no question about that. Yeah. And the press?
Barack Obama, well, hello. Just everything about him has been influential, no? I mean, just starting from the fact that he was the first Black American president to what he is now, and how anybody who's sane and in their right mind in the United States and the world misses him.
Please come back.
It would be interesting to see if he decided, I'm sure he wouldn't, but be interesting to see if he decided to run in 2020.
I don't think he's going to. I would be more interested in seeing Michelle run now.
Yeah. You know. See, that's where you and I can get into, because I got different perspective on Michelle, going back to when she was VP of Marketing at the University of Chicago Medical Center. So that one, that's a story for another time. But anyway, I have.
But people change, I will say that.
Yes. People keep reminding me of that. People say, you know, because I'll go off on my riff, and people, you know, people can change, Virgil. And I said, yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, it's tough to accept sometimes, you know, because I get to be a hard ass, and I just don't become embracing of that. But again, so it's good. Joanna?
Well, this is something I'd like to talk about on one of my shows, just as a precursor. I think the word influencer, influencer, particularly with today's youth, has become very twisted, as into people who call themselves influencers. But I'll leave that for another day. I mean, when I think of the influential people, I think of people who are leading the way in business, technology, humanitarian efforts. But for me, I think of those people that I rub shoulders with, that are doing incredible things. I mean, Usman Umar from your show last week. I mean, that is an influencer to me. That's someone that people should stand up and take notice of. You know, people who come from incredibly dark places and go on to do something incredible for the world, and not for themselves, but to help others. So I think it also depends, you know, what you want from your life, what industry you're in, you know, and your kind of priorities. But there are many different, you know, influential. I mean, say Barack Obama. I mean, he did things with such class.
Yes.
But yet in such a down-to-earth manner as well. And, you know, I remember my mother, you know, my grandfather was from Guinea-Bissau in Africa. And, you know, I remember when Barack got elected, and Mom and I were crying because she said, I wish, because he was the governor of Guinea-Bissau, and he'd say, I wish, you know, my father... my grandfather could see this because, you know, in his time, he married my granny. My granny was white. And there was a huge thing in Portugal, you can imagine.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I think influence is something I'd like to talk about because I think we need to take that word back from
I would agree there because I think what's happened is that thinking about that name that we won't mention, you know, like, you know, Voldemort, that negative influencer out there, that so much of the media, particularly in the States and to a lesser degree other places, influences people instead of giving them motivation to think, it allows them to not think and now be replaced by the influence of what the media says. Which, you know, if you saw it on Fox, it must be true.
Which I guess goes back to education, which was last week, which is, you know, people therefore don't have, you know, are being educated in a way that they can't turn around and go, I'm sorry, no, or...
Yeah, critical thinkers. Yeah, we're missing that. Definitely.
You know, I think about when I think about, you know, I'm not really impressed by a lot of people, because my own ego, whatever. In terms of, you know, looking at some things I've done, but I look at some key influential people in my life, and probably the one that I still revere to this day and put on a pedestal is Sister Mary Julius, who was our principal back at St. James Grammar School in Chicago. She came in. Just as I was finishing third grade. And she comes to me and she talks to me and she says, you know, next year, you know, in September, maybe you ought to just go right into fifth grade instead of fourth grade. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. She said, think about it, you know, and didn't say anything. So the night before school was to start, she calls and she said, well, are you all set and ready for tomorrow, going to fifth grade? I said, you know, sister, I hadn't really thought about it. She says, guess what? I thought about it for you. Get in the line tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's really funny. That's a great story.
So it was like, okay. So it was like she continued to be an influence in terms of pushing me, challenging me, not allowing me to have a comfort zone. Just, you know, saying, you know, that, you know, you don't know how good you can be.
I think everybody needs a sister.
So that standpoint is good.
Julius, yeah.
Yeah. So now if we look at Barcelona today and for the future, what are some of the aspects of the culture that you admire, that you dislike, and that you would change to make better?
I mean, I love the sense of community, family values, the mix of people and cultures, how they embrace their culture and they honor their tradition. I mean, okay, we talk about the fiestas, et cetera, but I mean, people put 110% into maintaining traditions from years ago and not, you know, modernizing them or trying to make them more appealing, just doing what they do. And I love that and respect that. And I think the ability to innovate here is incredible. And I think that's something that's going to continue to put Barcelona on the map, apart from it being such an awesome place to be.
And they're also very inclusive here. So they include you, you know. You don't feel necessarily like an outsider. And I really appreciate that. I also appreciate here in Catalonia, and I'm not sure if it's true in other parts of Spain, but definitely in Catalonia, people have a very acute sense of civility. In other words, they really take care of their public spaces here. I never will forget one day going down into the metro, which is just on the corner of my street, and this older Catalan woman was in front of me, and this young man, he must have been in his early 30s, he could have even actually been in his early 40s, but between 30 and 40, and he had a kid with him. And the kid threw something on the ground, like a wrapper of some description. And the lady went up to the man and said, excuse me, but your child has just thrown, you know, this wrapper on the ground, and please have him pick it up. And the man was absolutely flabbergasted, didn't know what to say except, you know, turn to his son and say, pick that up, basically. And I thought, whoa, that is the way to go. Because that is how you educate people and make them become civil and aware of the public space. It belongs to everybody.
Well, I think that's interesting because when my wife was still alive, She's dealing with a brain tumor, so she had difficulty mobility at times. And never forget, we got on the bus one day, we were going somewhere, and she was still, you know, very proud, and she didn't want to have folks doing anything for her.
Sure.
But this woman saw, you know, that she had some difficulty. So there's some people sitting in the seats that they reserve on the bus for the handicapped folks, whatever. The goon over practically drugged this woman out of the seat and told my wife, no, here, you sit here.
Exactly.
So again, it's a case where I think it is a sense of, you know, muy amable.
Yeah, very.
It's a case where people, you know, have a, you know, we don't see people throwing stuff on the streets. We see people who are a lot more aware of the surroundings and appreciative of it and protective of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's why, you know, we're seeing a lot of the resistance to the commercialization of the city and all the tourism and everything. And people are just saying, you know, it's good, but, you know, within...
We don't need so much of it.
Right.
Well, because when there's something, and I know this is worldwide, but it seems when people go on holiday, they leave their manners and their common sense at home.
Some do.
Some do. So this is like a sweeping generalization. Some do, but you sort of, you notice it.
Yeah.
You know, you notice it and you notice it more and more. And
of course.
I think you in Barcelona, one of the sounds that I know of Barcelona is the dragging of the wheels of the suitcase.
right. That is the sound
that is the soundtrack of Barcelona.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the other thing is that I posted something on Facebook last week, the week before, is that when people come here, what about the concept of bike lane that is foreign to you? You know, that why do you stand in the bike lane? Why do you walk in the bike lane? It's for bikes.
Bicycles, yeah.
You know, and
exactly.
It's like, and the fact that they have, you know, officers out there now telling folks, you know, stay out of the bike lane.
Yeah.
You know, because so many people are getting hit by bikes
because
they're just so totally unconscious, you know, what's going on. And then I was walking to the station this morning and tourists saying, oh, these cars, you just go so fast. They don't pay attention. I said, well, because if you keep your ass out of the street, it wouldn't be a problem. So, again, we have a lot, I think, to admire about our culture. And I think the fact that if we look at some of the metrics that are around us, that, you know, we are getting more investment of foreign capital than anywhere else in Europe coming into Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
We are still the second highest productivity in all of Europe behind Germany. We have the second highest export rate. And the fact that we were getting major investments from China and Russia for our ports, you know, says that there is a reason why people are coming here.
Yeah.
And why the immigration is so high. And I think the quality of life and the opportunities that you mentioned, you know, are just critical.
Hmm. Well, that's why with quality of life, I think the majority of expats I've spoken to, they say, well, I came here for 6 months or a year. Oh, well, how long have you been here? 15.
Yeah, right.
People don't just come and think, okay, this is great, I've seen it. People come and they go, okay, now I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to leave.
Absolutely.
Right. That's it. We'll be back for some more conversation right after this. Thank you. And that was Brooklyn Funk Essentials with Take the L Train. Now, those of you who aren't familiar with New York, you know, if you take the L Train, it gets you from Brooklyn to 14th Street and 8th Avenue in Manhattan. And the L Train is the Brooklyn version of the A Train, as it were. But the A Train does go through Brooklyn. But still, you know, it's like Brooklyn's own little A Train. So, Violetta, on your show yesterday, you talked about becoming comfortable in your own skin.
Yes.
Have you finally become comfortable, or are you still in a process of evolving?
Oh, no, I've become comfortable now. Yeah, I've gotten totally to a point of self-acceptance.
Cool. Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a long road. It's been a really long road.
What parts of you did you have trouble accepting?
Well,
wait a minute. What parts were?
I can just very simply put. I had trouble accepting that I was black because I felt like I was born into the wrong race. Because growing up in the United States, when I grew up and where I grew up in Philadelphia, that it was I was definitely on the wrong side of the fence. You know, so it was really that. It was like I was angry at whatever this being that is supposed to exist. I was angry, thought they, you know, you put me in the wrong race over here. What is this about? Until I finally realized, well, not finally, it took me a long time to work through it and go, hold on a minute. I am who I am and very proud to be who I am.
It was interesting. On a guest I had on the show last week, a young man from Ghana who made a pilgrimage to get to Barcelona because he said, that's where the white man is.
Oh, right.
That's where this omniscient, powerful white man is.
Oh, right.
And if I could come to Barcelona and find this white man and, you know, see what he does and how he lives and all the rest of it, then I can have the power as well. So it was interesting because we started then segueing later into the program talking about the power in Africa and how many of the black leaders of the African nations have become despots, dictators. Mm. And I said, it's interesting that, you know, here's a case where those leaders have become the new white man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have this whole neo-colonialism thing that are out here that the pursuit of this abstract idea of power and control can ultimately distort who you are.
Yeah, for sure. And because you're looking for it outside of yourself, really. Mm. And once you come to the realization that the power is within you and that the more you know yourself and truly know thyself, you know, the more you know yourself, the more powerful you really are. Because you get to that place of self-acceptance. And so, you know, nobody can move you then if you know who you are.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Well, sometimes the only person who's standing in the way of that power is you.
Is you, absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy when you think that, you know, we are our own worst enemies, and it seems easy to kind of try and put that aside. But as you say, it's a long road.
It's a long road, and the problem is when we're busy listening to the narrative that's out there, you see, then it's very hard to get to yourself because you're believing a story that has been imposed upon you.
True.
Yeah. And that's where we lose contact with our essence, with who we really are, you know.
The voices. There are a lot of voices
in this.
Telling us who we are constantly.
Or who we should be.
But who they think we are, if you know what I mean.
Right. Well, this is one of the things that, you know, we were looking at last night, one of your show ideas in terms of the self I'm trying to remember the actual
Self-sabotage.
Ah,
my old friend.
Which I thought was so on target, in that we do sabotage ourselves.
It's. I mean, you know, I'm half English, and the British are a classic example when it comes to sport. Sometimes we're almost there, and, you know, I say it with a smile, but it's when you have everything at your fingertips. And the only reason you don't get it is because you stop yourself in some way. And I think sometimes, I mean, this was one of the things of the shows that I'd like to explore. It's that, you know, we're told to be the best. You have to be number one. And so it becomes so unattainable to the majority that you think, okay, well, then I'm a failure. And it's very easy to, that becomes your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So not being good becomes your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to say, well, of course it didn't work. It's not going to work. It's never going to work. Mm. And to slip into that. And I think, you know, people self-sabotage from fear, you know, which is crazy to think, well, what if I succeed? But we think, well, what if I don't?
Sure.
What could happen? What is this stranger going to think of me? Rather than, you know, saying, hey, try it. I mean, my father always said to me, you know, I'd rather you regret that. I don't want you to regret not having done something. I'd rather you did it. It didn't work out. At least you did it.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it was one of my mom's old sayings, you know, nothing beats a failure but a try.
Yeah,
there we go.
And that was true. And I think one of the things, again, one of my tennis coach when I was back playing, he said that a champion is afraid to lose. A loser is afraid to win.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing is that, you know, as a player, sometimes you don't know how to close out the match. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to win. Mm-hmm. Where the champion is, you know, doing everything, you know, not to lose. You know, it's a matter of just, you know, again, being able to find that strength in ourselves, because it requires not only self-awareness, but also self-discipline to be able to say, all right, you know, you're going to have to carry me off of here because I'm not going to give up on my own.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's the thing that's interesting. Then another thing I kind of thought about, too, is, which both of you do so well, is communication. And communication in today's world has so many different forms, so many different ways, but yet radio continues to be one of the most desired forms that people use and listen to. Hmm. What do you think that is?
I'm actually not very sure. I don't know if it's because it's very easy to just turn on the radio and then it's kind of there as your companion. And it's talking at you on one level, but at the same time, you can easily ignore it. Because are you saying it from the point of view from listeners or from people who do radio?
Both, because we've looked at a lot of research now, and the research is showing that people are listening to radio more so than they are looking at TV or necessarily spending time on the internet or whatever. The radio as a form of communication is still number one.
Do you think maybe it's because people are, or I certainly am, getting a little saturated with things that are so edited, photoshopped, TV shows, etc. It's becoming too fake, too false, and people want a little reality. And on radio, the majority, you know, you can take it anywhere, which I think is one of the benefits. Mm-hmm. But I think also people want to hear real stuff.
I was just about to say it's more real, isn't it? Radio is more authentic, I guess is the word.
Exactly. And when you compare it to, I mean, you know, I go on my social sort of media rants and I can see benefits. But when you compare it to, you know, the fake lives everyone puts out there, or you put your best, you know, and it goes again to self-sabotage. If you're seeing something that A, isn't real, B, you can never get. Comparison, there's no point.
Right.
But with radio, you're hearing people's voices, people's stories, and it's not rehearsed.
Yeah,
it comes from the heart. People screw up. People say things sometimes they shouldn't.
Right,
but it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we've lost a little.
Yeah,
in today's world.
Keeping it real. Yes, absolutely.
Keeping it real.
Absolutely. Well, here's a little bit of realness that I think you're going to like. We'll be back with some closing comments right after.
Got my thing on your trigger, babe. I'm going to shoot you down. Got my thing on your trigger, babe. I'm gonna shoot you down. Woo! And when I pull your trigger, you always be hanging around.
shotgun loaded, babe. Are you ready now?
And that was Albert King with Finger on the Trigger. Now, each of you got your finger on the trigger of a lot of thoughts and all the rest of it here. You know, so give us some closing thoughts that you want to pass on to the audience.
Well, what I would say, and it's just what we were talking about now when the song was playing, is basically show up to your life. Mm-hmm. Be real. that really, you know, show up. Get from behind the screen. Know the computer screen and whatnot, or your mobiles, and be real. Engage with life. Engage with people.
The revolution will not be televised.
The revolution will not be televised. Gil Scott-Heron.
That was something right. I posted about today because I notice when you walk around, people are so glued to their mobiles all the time.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't look around, look up, you miss some incredible things.
Right.
Views.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's put the phone away. Mm-hmm. And life happens outside. Mm-hmm. The phone. I mean, I've been guilty of it, but I now put it on silent, and you look around, especially in a place like Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is so much going on
that right.
you have to have your eyes open. And doing that, you can really live in the real world.
Yeah, and engage.
Mm-hmm. When I talk to you, like some of the tourists, you know, sitting in the cafe, and they're sitting there, and the folks know to bring them and sit them down with me sometimes. And they're saying, oh, this is an interesting city. So, you know, there's so much, you know, great architecture. Well, look at the cathedral. I said, yeah, but there's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just walk down the streets. You see an interesting, you know, wrought iron detail around a window.
Yes.
You know, stained glass mm-hmm. bay windows. Just mm-hmm. so many different styles of architecture, you know, that you can appreciate. Again, just look up and look around mm-hmm. you.
Look around.
And they just, you know, people just don't do that.
I think we walk around blinkered when you think I've got to get from here to here and here to here. And that comes down maybe a little to control. But if you actually just let yourself go and you wander around, what's the worst that could happen? You get a bit lost, you ask someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But what's the best that could happen? You could stumble across things.
Absolutely.
You never would have. They're not in the guidebooks. They're not.
Well, I just noticed something here that none of us wear watches.
This is true.
Oh, yeah.
And
what's that?
Well, I can speak for myself in that after I was treated for cancer, I realized that time was one of the most precious commodities you had. Mm-hmm. And too often because of the watch, we think about where we have to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As opposed to where we are.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's more important for us to be in the moment and think about, well, okay, philosopher knew, said, you know, you're not late until you get there.
Right.
So don't be looking at your watch and say, oh, I'm running late. You're not late until you actually get there. So until then, enjoy the moment where you are.
Enjoy the journey as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not just
absolutely
destination.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's why, you know, a watch to me is irrelevant now because, you know, I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I really...
Why would you if you have a mobile?
Well, that's the other thing, too. Yeah. That's the other thing, too. You can always, you always do that. But even then, the times that I use the phone to check the time are very, very few.
Mm-hmm.
I really gotten to the point of just saying, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. This is in this moment is where I'm supposed to be with this person, having a dialogue with them, getting the most from them, whatever. And if I have to be somewhere else, I'll be somewhere else.
Engaging 100%. Mm-hmm. But I think your body learns times. I mean,
absolutely.
I haven't used an alarm clock for ages now. And I mean, I put an emergency one on just in case if there's something important. Because, you know, that'll always be the day that your body goes, you think you're in control, sweetie?
Yeah, Murphy's Law.
True, that's true. Well, anything else you want to share? Because you're going to be our baby of the family.
I'm a baby coming up, and I love it.
Coming up soon. You know, you're going to be starting next week with your show. You'll be sitting in at this time spot while I'm somewhere. I don't know where I'll be. You know, I might be closer than you think. But anyway, what are you going to be talking about next week?
Well, I got some big shoes to fill, and I hope your listeners will still tune in and give me a chance and let me know what they think. But I'm going to be talking coffee and conversation.
Okay.
And this is, you know, the virtual equivalent or the audio equivalent of a face-to-face chat and real talk and, you know, talking about topics that affect people on a day-to-day level. So things like Brexit, things like influencers. I think there are certain topics that are best seen and not heard, such as, you know, emotional and mental health. And I think these impact people in a much greater way than we're allowed to talk about. So I think it's interesting to talk with people, to get their stories, and hopefully for the listener, give them something to talk about. I want to get people talking.
Mm-hmm.
And also I want to hopefully help people who are learning English or want to better their English, that by listening and hopefully to entertaining and informative content, you know, it's a great way to immerse yourself and get something educational out of it as well.
Well, good. So be certain, all you folks out there, to tune in next Wednesday for the Movers and Shakers with Violetta, Felissa, Emma, and Tori.
Yes.
You know, to be giving their spin. And then next Thursday, for the next four Thursdays, turn into Coffee and Conversation with Joanna Lee.
Ooh.
And then be sure then in September, come back from vacation to more English Radio. And then on Wednesday, you have a double dose of fantastic women with Movers and Shakers from 11 to 12, and then Joanna from 12 to 1.
That's fantastic.
It's going to be fantastic, and make it a great one, Barcelona, and we'll see you soon.
but I'm taking a greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in a New York state of mind. I've seen all of those movie stars, fancy cars and limousines. I've been high in the Rockies or under the evergreens, but I know what I'm needing and I don't want to waste more time. I'm in a New York state. So we
state of mind.